Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. For our final segment today, we're going to talk about forest bathing. Forest bathing, or forest therapy, is a growing trend in the health and medical communities, both here and around the world.
This is forest therapy, which is inspired by forest bathing. And it's a practice of being in the body and leaning into the sensation of being alive. And we do that by spending time unplugging in nature.
That's Tam Willey, founder of Toadstool Walks and a certified forest therapy guide who leads walks in and around the Boston area. Radio Boston's Chris Siderick recently attended a forest therapy session with Tam, and he's here now to tell us about it. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana.
So it sounds honestly kind of marvelous, especially right now. So tell us what it's like.
It was something I was really excited about. I read an article about a year ago, and I'm a big nature guy. I love camping. I love going for hikes. So I was really excited to try this out and see what it was all about. I was a little intrigued, I guess, or maybe even skeptical of why do I need a guide to walk through the woods, right? But as you mentioned, Tam was our guide. There was a group of about 12 of us. We met up outside one of the gates at the Arnold Arboretum in Jamaica Plain. And we started by walking to the first spot that we were going to basically circle up around. And on that walk, Tam encouraged us to share stories about times we either felt connected to nature or inspired by it. So really kind of drove home the point for me right away that this is both a very individualized experience, but also a communal one. So then we got to our spot and we sat in a circle. And Tam started by giving us a little bit of background info on the history of forest bathing.
Forest bathing is the literal translation in English of a Japanese term, shinden yoku, which was coined in 1982 in response to a national health crisis in Japan, where there was a spike in stress-related illness due to the tech boom, and due to this widening divide between humans and the natural environment that we evolved in. So what does that mean? It means more screen time, more time on computers, and which effectively dulls our senses. In response, there's this huge push towards getting people back outside in Japan and elsewhere and here right now. But just to acknowledge this, the shinden yoku lineage of forest bathing, in Japan there's certified forest therapy trails where people go to heal and restore themselves after working huge hours, being on computers all week long. And at these places, their blood pressure is taken, their heart's monitored, and there's been tons of studies where even their blood has been taken, and there's 30-plus years worth of research demonstrating what happens physiologically when we spend time in nature and unplug and relax. And I don't want to go too deeply into them because part of what we're doing here is like getting into our bodies and out of our heads.
I love the sound of the hooting
in the
background.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because then we kind of closed our eyes for 15 minutes or so. And Tam, it was almost like guided meditation in some ways, kind of giving prompts about being in the moment and taking in what our different senses were hearing or feeling. And so then we opened our eyes, came back to the group, and were invited to share if there was something that spoke to us or inspired us or that we felt a deep connection to. And we went around the circle doing that. And it was really great, I think, that the invitations were just that. It was very much, if you'd like to, if you're moved to, feel free to do this. But really, whatever it is that makes you happy, that's what you should do while you're here. And then it was time to start wandering.
So until the wandering, I really had been picturing this as a guided meditation.
It felt a lot like a yoga class in the woods in some ways, yeah.
All right, so then you introduced the wandering. What is that like? Is that like a hike or a nature walk?
So not quite either of those. It was much slower paced than a hike. It was really just kind of walking around slowly to take in the atmosphere. And it didn't have the kind of the science behind a nature walk. So we weren't trying to identify plant or tree species or things like that. It was really just if you see something that calls to you, walk over there and explore it and feel it and look at it and listen to the sounds. And it was very much an individualized experience. And then after about 15 or so minutes of that, Tam gave us a coyote call, which was the signal to circle back up. And we came back and talked about the things that jumped out to us.
And what did jump out to people? What were they responding to?
You know, it was really interesting. And I think that was one of the biggest takeaways I had, was kind of the variety of perspectives people were bringing to the table. Some people noticed the way different creatures would interact with each other, or the way the motion of the leaves against the stillness of the clouds, or some people were using what they saw for metaphors for life, and other people were just kind of reacting to nature itself. It was really interesting, and I appreciated kind of all those different perspectives. We had a woman who lives in Brooklyn, New York, who was visiting in town. There was a young woman whose family came to the Boston area as a Jewish refugee from Uzbekistan. And there was another woman I spoke to, Nadine Mazzola, who mentioned during one of our sharing sessions that she got into forest therapy while she was going through treatment for breast cancer. Tam didn't tell us a lot of the studies. Like she said, she wanted us to be in the bodies. But one of the studies she did mention is a study about 10 years ago out of Japan that found that trees emit this substance. And you think the smell of pine trees. It's like that, basically. But it actually boosts NK cell activity in human bodies and natural killer cells. Those actually attack tumors or virus-infected cells. So it was kind of that push to find ways to boost her immune system while going through treatment that Nadine got into forest therapy.
When I first heard about forest bathing, it was because of the immunity boost and the NK cells that Tam talked about at the beginning of our walk that first gave me a red flag got me interested in it, because healing from treatment for cancer, you're just interested in how can you boost your white blood cells, and that there is something that can actually do that is quite astounding, and that it comes from trees and just by being outside is even more wonderful. But it's really become a personal practice for me.
So I thought that was really interesting. Anyone who's been touched themselves or a loved one by cancer knows whatever it takes to possibly raise your immune system, you do it. But that the longer and the more she got involved in forest therapy, the more it became a bigger part of her life than she ever really expected.
I always say that when I was healing from my treatment for breast cancer is really when I needed the most help healing. And forest therapy has played such an instrumental role as a personal practice of just being able to be in relationship to the land, be outside with the trees and the forest, feel a sense of community there in whatever way that may be. It's hard to put into words, but it's just brought so much healing into my life. So much relaxation, just from the simple relaxation to a more deeper sense of connection and community.
She actually felt such a strong connection to this that she's gone on to become a forest therapy guide herself.
So this feels like a species level thing, Chris, yeah. Or need. I have a brother who sort of lives for the outdoors, and used to be that he would periodically need to disappear into the woods for a few days with basically like a tarp and a knife and reset and would come back out
right. Truly
reset. Did you get a sense of sort of the chi level of this?
No, I think there's something to that. I've always felt similarly. My wife and I go up to Acadia every year and just get out into the woods, and you come back, you feel like your batteries are recharged. There is something intrinsic about getting out into nature. So I asked him about that, and she said she thinks it goes so much deeper than we even realize.
Well, yeah. I mean, nature connection is an ancient practice. Our earliest ancestors were connected in a way where, you know, there was no real separation of like religion and spiritual practice and like daily survival. It was all intertwined. We had to be in a reciprocal relationship with the land to survive. Our senses were once strong enough that we could smell our food running over the hill miles away. And, you know, we all spoke bird language. It wasn't a hobby that like just, you know, deep nature connection people did. It was how we lived.
For me, it was crazy how much I felt like an 8-year-old kid. Just, oh, that looks really cool. I want to go check that out. And as I was kind of thinking about that and talking with Tam about this, it raised this question for me, because we're out there in the middle of the day on a Wednesday afternoon, and Tam is, she admits, running a business. She charges people to do this. And so it's not something that's accessible to everyone. So I asked Tam kind of how that reconciles in as she's conducting these walks.
I have my moments where I'm like, oh, I don't want to charge for this. I want everybody to have this. I want everybody to have everything. I think the way that I've heard it boiled down is like privilege is power and it's what you do with it. So I have this power to bring people outside and invite them to turn their phones off. And I believe so deeply and strongly in the ripple effects of that. Can anybody come do it? No, because people are at work. And no, not everyone can afford it, even though today was free. And a lot of these folks are my friends. but, you know, I feel like I want to take responsibility where I can. I want to step aside as a white person, as a person of privilege, when I can. And then I also want to, you know, use my privilege to help make change when I can. And I believe that this is a radical form of cultural repair.
So pretty big goal, but they're taking it one walk at a time.
Yeah, so there is a big goal there. Did this radical goal of cultural repair work for you?
You know, for me personally, I actually found it very effective. It was a really hard week that week. I had been looking forward to this, seeing it on my calendar. We had been covering some incredibly emotional stories that week. And so I needed that chance to kind of get out into the wilderness and unplug. And for me, the world just kind of makes more sense when you're out there and you can hear the birds singing and smell that fresh air and feel that breeze in your hair. And you're just surrounded by the trees and the natural element there. There's just nothing like it. And I wasn't the only one that felt that way. I could see that there were other folks that connected with it too. Shakti Marina Eskina, her family came here, I mentioned earlier, from Uzbekistan, Jewish refugee. She talked about the way she also feels this deep connection.
And I feel really connected to nature. I feel connected to the earth. And more I'm like remembering the depth of my connection. And at first I had no idea what I was getting myself into. with the forest therapy walk. And it blew my mind, actually, from the beginning. I think one of the first prompts that I vividly remember was, you know, imagining a picture frame around what you're looking at and seeing that as, like, seeing nature in that way. And then, like, the deeper the walk goes, I just feel like I'm both guided, like, into nature and into the depth of myself. And there's no rightness. Like, there's no rightness, there's no wrongness. There's just being. Which I feel is a very sacred space and a sacred place to be. And to have somebody else hold the space is something that I need because I hold space for a lot of people. And to have a person connected to the earth, holding the space, the earth holding space for me, it just brings me deeper into myself.
Chris Siderick went on a forest bath. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.